The multiple award-winning independent feature film Skin, directed by Anthony Fabian, tells the real-life story of Sandra Lang, a South African woman with dark skin and black curly hair born to white Afrikaner parents in apartheid South Africa, parents who are unaware of their own black ancestry. Skin is a reflection on the devastation of institutional racism exemplified by South African apartheid and exacerbated by existing patriarchal structures. Despite her appearance, Sandra Lang was raised by her parents as a white girl. Her father fought the court system to classify her as white and even sent her to a white school from which she was expelled. Eventually, at age 17, she chose to leave white society and follow her heart, living as a black woman for the first time in her life. For black South Africans, life in the Bantustans of South Africa was quite different and much harder than Sandra's childhood. While the film explores a number of intersecting issues of race, gender, class, and politics, at its heart, it's also about the complex relationship between Sandra and her parents. Skin opens in select theaters this Friday, and my guest this morning is Elaine Muddyman. She is the award-winning film composer for Skin. Welcome to Uprising, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You are the composer of the film, but you're also very familiar with the film and have been very close to the creation of this film. This is a true story that the film was based on. Sandra Lang still lives, and she's somebody who is played by an actor in this film. Why is this story so important and so powerful to tell?
I think for many reasons. I mean, it certainly has changed my life. I never thought of myself as at all racist until I saw this film, and it made me realize that passive racism is just as awful as positive racism. And you can not engage with people because you don't feel you relate to them. And I think this film really gets to the heart of people and the way they look at other people and their sense of belonging and how we judge others. And I think that's what's so clever about this film is it doesn't preach, it doesn't try to criticize. It just shows an example of how a family have coped in a system that was so extreme. And the relationship between the parents, and there's just so much in this film that is so important that I think that's the reason we're so passionate about it.
Let's take a listen to an excerpt of the film Skin. This is a scene from the courtroom where Sandra Lang's father is struggling to get his daughter classified as white.
Are you prepared to swear before God and on the Bible that you are the parents of this child?
I am, my lord. I mean, we are, my lord.
Thank you. Call in the next witness, please. Dr. Sparks, I believe you have a statement to make.
I've studied the Lang's case closely.
I'm a great admirer of brevity, Dr. Sparks, but will you please give us your area of expertise and a place of work?
Sorry, Genetics research fellow at Wits University.
Thank you.
I believe there's a plausible genetic explanation for Sandra's appearance. The history of our country is such that many, indeed, we believe most Afrikaners carry black genes.
Silence. Please go on.
So two white-looking parents can contribute enough black genes to produce a child quite a lot darker than themselves. And this phenomenon is commonly known as a throwback. We prefer to use the more precise term, polygenic inheritance.
Thank you, Doctor.
That's an excerpt from the film Skin, which is opening in two theaters locally here this Friday, the Landmark Theater in West Los Angeles, the Lumley Town and Country Cinemas in Encino. And then on November 6th, it's also opening at the Pasadena Lumley Playhouse 7 in Santa Ana, at the Regency South Coast Village Cinemas, and in Palm Springs at the Camelot Theater, also in La Jolla at the La Jolla Village Cinemas. And you can find out all about the film as well as where it's screening. And if you can find it at a theater near you, at the website skinthemovie.net. That's skinthemovie.net. My guest is Elaine Muddyman. She is the award-winning film composer for Skin. Now, this clip that we just heard, Elaine, was a very, very interesting clip. Can you tell us a little bit about the sort of legal dilemma that Sandra Lang, the main character in this film, finds herself in, and how race was classified in apartheid South Africa?
Well, at that time, the blacks and the whites weren't allowed to live together. And so the dilemma was whether she was, if she was going to be considered black, was she allowed to live with her parents? It was an extraordinary situation. So when she went to school, people did protest that she was black and she shouldn't be in a white school. And indeed, the school had her reclassified as coloured. And this set up so many issues that she wasn't allowed to go to a white school. She wasn't actually classified black, but she was classified coloured. So the parents...
And for those who are not aware of those various sort of racial classifications, the term coloured meant sort of mixed heritage.
Yes.
Means mixed heritage in South Africa.
And it certainly meant that she couldn't partake in the privilege of the white society had at that time in that place. It was a major issue for her, obviously, in her education. She wasn't allowed to go to the school that her brother went to before her.
And her brother looked white, her older brother.
He looked more white mm-hmm. than she did. There was definitely issues when he went to school. But when she came along, those issues were too hard to sweep under the carpet. And she was, people protested that she was not white enough. It was a terrible situation for the parents, who obviously wanted the best for their child, but yet they couldn't quite see the wood for the trees. They couldn't understand that the system was what was wrong. It wasn't trying to get her into the system, but actually if they had tried to fight the system and get it changed, that would have been much better. But of course, at the time, they were so indoctrinized in this apartheid system that they tried to get her into it rather than try to change the system.
The film shows the struggles as a backdrop, the struggles against apartheid as a backdrop. I mean, most people are so well aware now of the very long struggle against apartheid in South Africa. But Sandra Lang's life sort of went on. She made her own personal choices because she was sort of forced to at age 17 as a young black girl who was trying to figure out why her parents wanted to keep her away from the black man she fell in love with. So she chose this life that was, of course, much, much more difficult. But at the same time, she was happier being in a place that accepted her as one of them. Can you talk a little bit about that sort of transition in her life that's also shown in the film and how that was portrayed in the film even?
Yeah, she fell in love with a black man, and obviously her parents, being so institutionalized in their racism, were not approving of this. And I think this is a common issue with parents generally, that, you know, parents and children often disagree with choices that each other make. So I think that's quite an important part of the film that helps us to understand how we feel about the relationships we have with our parents. In her case in particular, the black community, she definitely felt much more at home in, and she felt much more accepted, although, you know, still she didn't feel she really belonged in either situation. So it was definitely that she felt more understanding from them, though. And in particular, her husband's mother was her surrogate mother in many respects, and she still keeps in touch with her. And in fact, while she's over here, she's in America at the moment. She's in New York now. But while she's here, her mother-in-law is staying at her house with her new husband. Well, I say new. They've been together 20 years.
With the second husband.
Yes, with the second husband.
But you bring up the issue of husband. Even the person that is portrayed in the film, Skin, as this man, Petraeus, that she falls in...
Petrus.
Yeah. She falls in love with. They weren't able to really get officially married till she could sort of reclassify her own race, in such a bizarre thing to think about. I mean, even with the horrible legacy of slavery and racism in the United States here, the sort of classification by race is an interesting thing to think of in South Africa.
I think it's what's frightening as well is to imagine how recent it is.
Right. It was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, 1994 was when the apartheid ended. So I think that's what's so frightening, to imagine it's within our lifetime.
So where is Sandra Lang today? And, you know, what was the process of making the film, and how did you and the filmmakers, you know, create this film based on the life of somebody who's, you know, still living? Was she part of an intimate part of the process?
Yes. I mean, Anthony Fabian, the director, he was sitting in his kitchen one day and he heard the story on the radio, and he was so moved by it that he went to South Africa to meet with Sandra Lang and asked her if she would trust him with telling her story. And the first thing he did was have a book written about her, which he could then use all the interviews from the book, which is called When She Was White, use all the text from that book and use that to help write the script. And five script writers were involved in writing the script for the film. And it's taken 9 years for us to get to this point, for various reasons. I mean, most of it to do with getting the script perfect, because obviously that was a major part of the film. We felt it, without the script being fantastic, it had to be a good grounding for us to build the film around. The last 2 years we've actually spent also trying to get the film distributed, because we've come up against a lot of problems with people worried about the issues that are being raised in this film, and it's a bit like the elephant in the room. People are frightened to have these points brought to the public's notice for fear of, there being an uprising, I guess, of people conscious of the issues that it raises in this film.
Let's take another listen to a clip from the film Skin. This excerpt is conversation between Sandra Lang, the main character in the film. This is, of course, based on a true story, and her father. And it's about an issue that's commonly discussed at the dinner table when teenagers are involved. It's about dating, except in this film, of course, it takes on a whole new dimension.
So that's two she's decided aren't good enough for her.
Barbara, leave her alone.
Do you love me?
That's a stupid question.
Look at me. What do you see?
I see my beautiful girl.
Pa, I'm not white. That's what those boys want, a white girl to marry, to have children with.
That's enough. Whiskey's from the table. Go. Go.
And that is another excerpt from the film Skin, which is opening at theaters, select theaters, this weekend, this Friday, in fact. You can catch it at the Lemley Theater in Encino, as well as at the Landmark in West Los Angeles. And in fact, we have three pairs of passes to the Encino Lemley screening, any screening of your choice, next Monday and after, to Skin. If you call us right now at 818-985-5735, we'd love to give you a pair of tickets, a pair of passes to see Skin at the Encino Lemley. And if you can't make it to the theater, we also have a couple of copies of the soundtrack, a fabulous award-winning soundtrack that my guest Elaine Muddyman is responsible for, and she has very generously donated a couple of CDs of the soundtrack to the film Skin. Your choice. You call 818-985-5735. Let us know if you want the passes or the CD. And we will certainly try to hook you up. And it looks like the phone lines have already filled up. Elaine, let's talk a little bit about the, what you think you want people to take away from this film. Obviously, it's been a long battle for yourself and the filmmakers to get this film together and then to even get it distributed. And I mean, just looking at the number of awards it's won a lot of awards.
Yeah.
Against all of these odds, what do you hope that people take from this film? Even people who aren't really necessarily, involved in or familiar with this, with what happened in South Africa?
Well, I think for a start, it's a nice way to be educated about something that we perhaps don't know very much about in South Africa. But also, it really does help people, I think, to come to terms with some of their own feelings of either feeling outcast from a society or actually persecuting other people for what they see to be different. Just for example, with myself, I suddenly realized that, when I drop my children off at school and I'm in the playground, in the schoolyard, sometimes I realized I don't make eye contact with people that I perhaps don't relate to. And I realized that actually that's not a good way to be. And even if I don't think I have something in common with someone, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that we can't reach out. So I think things like that, very subtle things that I hope people will see this very quiet, very strong hero of the film and think to themselves, you know, gosh, that's an amazing feat of strength that this woman has endured all this racism throughout her life. And, you know, maybe there are some ways that we impact other people's lives in a much, much less strong way. But at the same time, you know, maybe we could, you know, cut people some slack in many respects and reach out. And I think that's what we're hoping is that humanity, I mean, we've won the Amnesty International Humanitarian Award and the Time for Peace Award, because I think these organizations, United Nations ambassadors who gave these awards, you know, they understand that there is something very poignant in the film that can help people understand.
And the film has shown in South Africa?
It has, but we don't open there properly until January.
It won an award there as well.
You know, I'm losing count of where we've lost where we've won awards.
I remember seeing one on your website from a South African festival. Right. So, and what has the response been like in South Africa?
Oh, it's been really positive, really positive. In fact, you know, South Africa generally, Alice Krieg, who was here on your show last week, was saying
on our station.
Yes, on your station. She was saying how amazing it is that, you know, especially the blacks in South Africa really are forgiving, and this truth and reconciliation is, you know, it's amazing how forgiving they are of what happened in South Africa. And the film, I think they, you know, the whites and the blacks in South Africa embrace this film because it doesn't point the finger at anybody in particular, and it just tells the story as to what happened.
Well, it's very clear when you watch the film whose side you want to be on, but at the same time, you're right, a lot of the characters who do act in certain ways because they've bought into this system, this very cruel and evil system, are I suppose at most guilty of accepting the status quo.
Yeah.
And the father, as well as the first husband of Sandra Lang, these two men also, you know, I think bring up these very interesting intersections between race and gender, which we haven't had time to get into today. But Elaine, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're actually going to listen to one of the tracks from your award-winning soundtrack, Let Freedom Reign, as we wrap up the show. My guest has been Elaine Muddyman. She's an award-winning composer, film composer for Skin. Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you.
And congratulations to everybody who won tickets as well as CDs. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Nelson Mandela once said, "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." That's Nelson Mandela, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. You can find out more about the film Skin at skinthemovie.com. That's skinthemovie.net.